It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 16th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. When you say apprenticeship, I think of the fictional silversmith and American revolutionary Johnny Tremaine. And in recent years, the United States has been pretty far behind countries like Germany and Switzerland when it comes to incentivizing apprenticeship. $100 million in new grants from the Department of Labor will try to change that by creating apprenticeship programs in advanced technology, Leonida Inge reports.
Mason Hurlbut is a high school senior and spends 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, at Bueller Aeroglide in Cary, North Carolina. Bueller makes large conveyor dryers for companies like Kellogg's.
When I came to this company, I just fell in love. I mean, I've always worked with my hands, and it's got everything that, you know, I want to do: welding, fabrication, assembly.
Bueller has been singled out by the federal government as an apprenticeship leader. The company says it wants to expand its program from the shop floor to design and engineering. U.S. Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez recently visited young Bueller trainees and walked the shop floor.
This is an economic imperative. This is how we're going to grow our economy. I refer to apprenticeship as the other college, except without the debt.
And Perez says apprenticeships come in all shapes and sizes, not only in skilled trades, but in IT, cybersecurity, and healthcare. I'm Leonida Inge for Marketplace.
Last week's Tesla earnings report was not mind-blowing, but in true fashion, Elon Musk managed to make some interesting statements. One was that the company would start making batteries that could power your home. Our friend and senior tech correspondent at Slate, Will Arimus, says batteries are in the company's wheelhouse.
Tesla is really on the verge of becoming a battery company as much as it is a car company. The battery has always been its core technology, and it's no wonder that Tesla would be looking now to see, well, if we're building the world's best and cheapest batteries, what else can we do with them?
Arimus points out that Tesla is well situated with its alliances in the solar panel industry and a new gigafactory battery manufacturing project on the horizon. The question, as always, is getting that cost down. All this week, we're going to look at a set of growing tensions and parallels that exist in two parts of California, Hollywood and Silicon Valley. The first is home to an industry that developed around the entertainment technology of the movie screen over a century ago. The second has its genesis in computing and companies like Hewlett-Packard and Apple that formed in Palo Alto garages decades later. These two places could almost be in different states. We're calling our series From the Hills to the Valley. And today, we're going to talk to Jenna Wortham from the New York Times Magazine. She recently wrote a piece about the crazy popular technology-focused TV series from the UK called Black Mirror and why Hollywood struggles to tackle tech as a subject. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, Ben.
Why do you think it's so hard for Hollywood to represent Silicon Valley in more imaginative ways?
I mean, the most simplistic answer is that technology is really kind of boring on screen. You know, I mean, even The Social Network, which was this kind of high intense drama about the start of one of the most ubiquitous social sites that we all know and use.
Yeah, I thought that movie was good.
No, it was great. But I mean, you couldn't get away from the scenes of, you know, Jesse Eisenberg like furiously coding. And it's like, how do you make that cool and how do you make that sexy? And so when it comes to reflecting what actually happens now in Silicon Valley, it's pretty much just people behind screens, and that gets harder and harder to illustrate.
Do you think that a show like Black Mirror could have come out of Hollywood?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that those narratives are particularly popular here. And when we look at dystopian narratives, they tend to center around what happens in the aftermath of a collapse of civilization or a zombie virus outbreak, not necessarily, you know, the computers have gone haywire and they're coming for us.
One of my favorite episodes of Black Mirror has been optioned by, who is it, Robert Downey Jr.? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. The episode was called The Entire History of You, and it's the one where people in the episode all have the grains implanted that let them automatically replay their memories, which they call redos.
Yeah. I was going to play some redos from the Fraser Road days.
Yay!
Stuff from the last night, depressing or fun.
You know, half the organic memories you have are junk, just not trustworthy.
the story kind of follows the disintegration of a relationship between a man and a woman as they kind of are spending more time living in their past than dealing with their present.
It's such a smart episode because it's like we have all had that wish to be able to go back to an argument with someone we love and prove to them that they were
but
wrong.
Should we be able to? My God, like Nightmare Town. But the two things in that episode that really stood out were sort of the widespread ubiquity of a technology that I would presume is created by a private company, you know, is worked its way into larger political and legal frameworks. So you have the main character when he's going through airport security. The guards are like, well, let's look at your footage. Let's see if there's been any suspicious activity in your trip here.
Could you just rewind me the last 24 hours? Quad speed there for me, please.
The way in which technology becomes kind of the default infrastructure for how we live our lives and how public policy and legal framework is decided is, you know, those are the more interesting parts of that episode to me, actually. And I think I would hope that's what the episode, the reinterpretation of that episode might tease out.
I guess we have to wait and see if it ever comes out of Hollywood and if Hollywood deals with it in that way. Jenna Wortham is a staff writer for The New York Times Magazine. Jenna, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You can find Jenna's piece at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.